Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Brua Yomi program is Daf Yud Gimel Omid Beis. We're in the sixth volume of Mishnah Brua, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to finish off the beautiful Siman Tof Kuf Mem Aleph, which deals with the halachos of sewing, tailoring, and weaving on Chol HaMoed. And today we begin on the very bottom line of Yud Gimel Omid Aleph with the fifth and final sif in this Siman. Sif Hei Demachaber writes, Mi Shetzarech Lo Beged B'moed. If somebody needs a garment on Chol HaMoed, he doesn't have clothing to wear for Chol HaMoed. So, Im Hayah Hedyot, if he's a non-professional tailor, he just knows how to sew a little bit. Im Hayah Hedyot, Eino Mahir Ba'osam Locha, he's really not a great tailor. He is a private person, and he'll put something together. He'll sew something together as a non-artisan, as a plain person. He's not very good at it. Eino Mahir Ba'osam Locha, he's not very quick and able to do so with great facility. So then in this situation, Hareza Osa Osa Kedarko, he's allowed to do it in his normal way of doing it because this is Maisei Hedyot. He's a non-professional, and therefore he can do this. The Mishnah Berurah tells us in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, Tinok Shinolad Bechak, what happens if you have a child that's born on Chol HaMoed? Mazel Tov. So Osalasos will be Godim Chadoshim, you're not allowed to make for him new clothing on Chol HaMoed, Bemoed. Lamuloso, so you have something nice for the Bris Mila on Chol HaMoed. Below Mikrei Litzorech HaMoed, this isn't called the Tzorech of the Moed, L'chvod Oviv, to give honor, so to say, to the father and mother. So the child was born, let's say, right before Yontif, and now the Bris is on Chol HaMoed. So in this situation, you didn't have an opportunity to make any garments before Yontif for this child, and now you want to make a garment, so it should be for the covered for the father, that this baby is brought to the Bris Mila in a nice new garment. Lisa also la mila. So you're not allowed to go and do this. Why? Because you don't need to have a fancy birthday suit. You don't need to have over here a Bris Mila suit for this child. You can just wrap him up in some sort of shiroyin, which is like leftover pieces of garment. You swaddle the child, and Baruch Hashem, you'll have the Bris Mila, and the child will be fine. There's no reason to go and do malacha over here on Chol HaMoed. He brings up the Chayodim. Chayodim klal kuf tes nistapik. The Chayodim is not so sure. He says, Hatzorech litvor litzorech hamoid. If you need to sew for Chol HaMoed, vein lochutim bamel lisvor, and you don't have threads. So then he's questioning, emutu litvos chutim bishulze. Are you or are not allowed to go and make the threads in this situation where you have a heter to go and sew the garment? So the question is, can you also make the threads to spin the threads? So he says, Ayin Shom, looked over there in the Chayodim for this question. The issue footnote number 10 brings down from Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, and he says, She'ein chisaron b'chovra ov, when the child, this child that needs a bris on Chol HaMoed, and we're saying, well, just wrap him up in some sort of remnant of material and don't actually sew it together, that's not a lack of covered for the father. Ein chisaron b'chovra av, im yivienu otuf b'shiroim, if you just bring the child swaddled in a piece of cloth and don't have on a fancy bris mila garment. Why? Kivin shikachaya, this was the normal way that they would do it anyway. As the Rivash tells us. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah Zatzal says, Lefikoch, ein b'zeh klal tzorech hamoed. This doesn't qualify in any way, shape, or form as being in need of Chol HaMoed. And therefore, v'osu afilu b'maisei hedyot. You can't even do this in a hedyot way. You can't do it with a professional tailor, but you can't even do this as a hedyot. And therefore, according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, if a child, however, is a little bit older, and mizbayesh, let's say it's mebege sheishlo, child has a torn garment, and he's embarrassed to go out. He's a 7-year-old kid. He's already embarrassed to go out with torn garment. In that situation, Shlomo Zalman says, mutu litvor avuro beged yosu yofel l'chover achak. Then that child can have a garment made for him. He has no other garment. It tore, let's say, on Chol HaMoed, so he didn't have any chance to go and fix this beforehand. And now the child's going to be embarrassed to go out with his torn garment. He doesn't have a nice garment. You'd be allowed to go and do this. But ma'aseh hedyot o b'shinui. Either do it by a hedyot, or a professional could do it with some sort of a shinui. We'd actually discussed in footnote number 8 in yesterday's shir, in regards to a garment of a child that was torn, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman says that if the parents are embarrassed about it, so then they can also fix it if the parents are embarrassed. The child may not care, but the parents, they're embarrassed to have their child going out in torn clothing, so then you'd be able to fix it also in a non-professional way with a ma'aseh hedyot, or a professional can do it with some sort of a shinui. Then the footnote number 10 continues. If the garment of the child got dirty, the kids are playing, and he has only one garment. They aren't all rich kids, and many of them may only have one garment. So then it's dirty. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal is brought down in the Sefer Hazikaron, Mevakshi Torah, brings down shemutul lechabso gam im yesh lo begid nosef. You'd be allowed to clean this garment, even though he may have another garment, but the other garment's not as nice. So you'd be allowed to go clean the nicer garment, so the child should be appropriately dressed on Chol HaMoed. Then we go to the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Yudalet. He says that you'd be allowed to go in this situation. If you need a garment, if you're a non-professional, you can go and fix it in a non-professional way. So we said it was a hedjot, the eino mahir. It sounds like it's two characteristics. You have to be a hedjot, a non-professional, and you can't be very facile at doing this. So the Mishnah Berurah points out from the Vilna Gaon that this is simen echadu. This is one and the same. Hedjot eino mahir is one characteristic. The stan uman mahir, because by definition, if you're a professional, you're going to be facile at doing this. So we're talking about one characteristic. You're either a professional, and by definition, you're mahir, you're facile at doing it, or you're a non-professional, and by definition, you're eino mahir. Again, he says this in the name of the Vilna Gaon. The issue footnote number 11 brings down, ukidei lahachshiv maisa k'maisa hedjot. How do we define something as being a maisa hedjot? Is it enough, hayim dai b'kach shiyeh nikor b'maisa she'eino maisa uman? Is it enough that it's recognizable from the action that it's not a professional, or does it have to be the result is recognizable as a non-professional? Again, a very fine deal over here. When you're doing it, does it have to appear as a non-professional doing, or is the result, the receivable, is that going to be how we view it, as if it's done by a professional or not? So on this regard, Rav Nissen Karlitz at Sal brings down, Shemei Hadin, technically, Le'inyan Tfira Nira Sha'ikar Toli B'Totzah. In regards to sewing, it's the end product that is the critical factor, not how you actually sewed it. Even if you sewed it in a different way, but if the end product is just as good, so then that is called Maisa Uman. Shem Eino Nires K'Maisa Uman Mutter. As long as it's not visible in a very, very professional way, so then even if it was done by a professional, then it's called a Maisa Hedjot. It can't look like it's a professional event. We said in regards to, in yesterday's shiur, we talked about filling in the cracks on the ceiling. We said, you're not allowed to use utensils, but you're allowed to use your hand or your foot, and even though it's going to look just as good, the Mishnah Berurah said, Shemosa kein biyad v'regel, mutar l'sotun afilu sh'osa yofi yofi, kemo b'chli umnos, even though if the end result is going to be just as good, you're only allowed to do it with your hand or your foot. How come? If the totsah, if the end result is the critical thing, so then how come you're allowed to do it with your hand or your foot in a perfectly good way? So if Nissen Karlitz Atzal explains the difference, yesh chiluk, there's a difference here between stimas between filling in the cracks on the roof that an uman uses a kli and a hedjot will use his hands or a foot. That's different than tfira, sewing. Show uman by hedjot, shove them by maisa. They each take a needle and thread and they each sew. So the chilek has to be only not in the way that it's done, but in the end result. And that's why, in regards to the cracks, it's done differently, so that's good enough. But where it's done the same way, so then the end result has to be the distinction. What about if you're using a machine? All you're doing in the machine is you're pressing a button. For example, you're making some sort of a design in the garment, and you're doing it via machine. Shemaisa hafolas hamachona hu maisa hedjot. Anybody can press the button. Kivan shedai belechitza skater. All you're doing is pressing the button to get the end result. So he says here, hatotzah hi maisa uman. The end result is maisa uman, and therefore it is his opinion, sheish lahachshiv es hapu'ulo k'maisa uman. Even though it's pressing a button, and you could say that doesn't take any skill, since the end result is a skilled outcome, therefore it's called maisa uman. Kivin sha'odam kaveyochol mishtateit im hamachone. When you're pressing the button, that's not the sole action. It's like you and the machine are now doing this together as a maisa uman. Even though your action is just pressing a button, the end result and your participation in it makes it into a maisa uman. Finally, he says, "Ubegeder ma'isa uman." How do we define whether something is included in the rubric of ma'isa uman or not? He says, "Shekol malacha shetzarich la'amin isyadov la'asos b'ofim meduyok." Anything that you have to really make your hands skilled to do it in the proper way, that's called ma'isa uman. So he says, "Mikol makom." That's not an absolute hard and fast rule, because he says, for example, in driving a car, which certainly takes a certain level of skill, nevertheless, we said that that's not called the Maisa Uman, that's called the Maisa Hedjot, and it is permissible on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, there are general rules here, but each one needs to be looked at individually. Back to the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "V'chol mi shiodei lahotzi melo machat bevasachas." Anybody to define over here what's considered sewing like an uman. If you're able to go and take the needle and thread and do it with one fell swoop, oh, shiodei lechavin imra b'svas kaluka, or you can sew up a very nice line on the inseam on the hem. So, to eino b'chal hedjot el uman. That already is called a professional type of sewing, not a a plain regular person's type of sewing, and that din therefore will be like a uman, which we're going to discuss in a moment, and not like a hedjot. The issue footnote number 12 adds over here, this is based upon a Rashi Moed Katan, Sha'uman tochev harbit chivos zu achazuba pamachas. A professional sewer can make many stitches all at once, so to say. Ulubisof motzias hamachat, when he takes out the needle, all the sewing lines are nice one straight line. So that's the definition over here of a professional sewer. And if the end result is like that, so then even though you're not an artisan, you're not a professional tailor, then you're called still a maise uman. Now we go back to the Mechaber, and he says, "V'im haya uman mahir." If you are, again, it's one characteristic. If you're a professional, and therefore by definition you are mahir, you're very facile at doing the sewing, tailoring. Hareza osa osa ma'ase hedjo. Even such a person, if he does it in a ma'ase hedjo type of a way, is allowed. It's not that a professional cannot do any tailoring or sewing on Chol HaMoed. Where it's allowed to be done with a ma'ase hedjot, even an uman, even this facile expert tailor, is still allowed to use a ma'ase hedjot, which means the hainu, the mechaber tells us, shiyasa tfiros ruchavos, you make the stitches far apart, not like you normally do, make nice, close, tight stitches. Utfira achas lamala, v'achas lamata, kishinei hakelev. And you don't make it in a perfect line. One's a little bit higher, one's a little bit lower. And this is called a ma'ase hedjot, even if it's done by a professional, would be permitted where ma'ase hedjot is allowed. As again, we pointed out many times, it has to be litzorech hamoed. It has to be certainly something that you need to use on Chol HaMoed. Now, the Chofetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, Dibur Maskil, Vayu Uman, says the same thing applies as well to cobblers, to people making shoes, le'inyon min olim. And he adds, the Chofetz Chaim, that is, v'nir li de le'inyon hedjo tofer kidarko, in this idea that the hedjo can do it in a regular way, lo hitiru bin molim, that's not allowed by shoes, and the reasoning is, v'tam efsho, d'shom the hedjo, she yitztarech litvar achas achas, lo kamo machat ki uman, zeu gufu hu shinoi, ma'shein kim bin olim. There's a difference when you're doing a garment versus shoes. He says, afu uman tzorech litvar achas achas. Mimela en kanshini. He says when you're dealing with shoes, you don't do it the same way that you can make multiple stitches at once. Each stitch is done separately, and therefore, according to Chofetz Chaim, there's a difference between the sewing of a garment and the shoes. Now we go to the Ramah. The Ramah says, Hagah, v'chol adam yachmir al atzmo. The Ramah says that every person should be machmir on himself, litvor b'shinozeh, to do it in this way that the Mechaber said is a wide spaced and not even stitch. He says, it's not called the shinoi if the tailor or the professional holds the needle in a different sort of way than he normally does. So in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, for example, we say do something with a shinoi, so you're allowed to, let's say, write letters. It changes from a daraisa to a darabon if you do it with your left hand, if you do it with a shinoi, so that doesn't apply over here. If your outcome is the same, and you're just holding the needle differently, that's not called a shinoi. Elaboino and shinoi haniko. You need to have, basis is on the Trumas Hadeshin, that you need to have a shinoi that is recognizable in the outcome, in the totsah, as we said, for it to be considered a ma'ase hedjot. Now, if we look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Tetzvav, he says, "Ki rov bnei adam yicholun lahotzim lo machat bevas achas." Vein bichlal uman. He says, for most people, they can stitch on a straight line. You don't need to be a professional tailor to be able to stitch on a straight line. And therefore, for most people, they have to be careful to make these stitches specifically in a non-routine way. Make them like the teeth of a dog, one higher, one lower, and far apart. Sivkot and Tezayin, it has to be a shinui hanikar, which means hainu shiya nikar betvira. The end result, the result of the sewing, has to be recognizable atzma by itself. Not that well, he held the needle in a different sort of a way. And Mishnah Berurah says further, v'da the bein lehedjot shoso sokedarko. Whether it's a regular plain person who's doing it in his normal way, or bein luman shoso ma'isi hedjot, or a professional that's doing it in this hedjot sort of a way. It's only allowed if you're doing it for yourself, or you're doing it for a friend and not getting paid for it. But if you're getting paid for this, even if it's a ma'aseh hedjot, also you're not allowed to do this. Even if it's a Chol HaMoed usage, unless, again, with the caveats that we had previously learned, if the person is desperate for money, he has nothing to eat, and that's why he's getting paid for this. And we'll learn more about this in Yetz Hashem in tomorrow's Shia. And he says, there's a long beer halacha over here, which we'll talk about if we have time in a moment. But let's first do some of the Dirshu footnotes. Dirshu footnote number 13 brings down Ule'inyan Tfiras Kafter. What about sewing a button onto a garment? It fell off on Yontif. Of course, if it fell off on before Yontif, you should have sold it up before Yontif. So you can't leave it for Chol HaMoed to sew it up. But now it fell off on Yontif. Shenofal b'moed. Mibeged she'ein nika bo shina b'tfiratzo. And now you're going to put this button back. You can't really make a shino. A button is a button. When you sew it back on, no matter how you held the needle, no matter what, the button's going to be sewed back on. You can't make wide stitches that are far apart, they're not even lined, it's a button. So Rav Yashiv Zatzal, in this situation, brings down, everybody sews a button the same way, and there's no recognizable difference between the professional tailor sewing on a button and a plain person sewing on a button. Therefore, Rav Yashiv says, then there is no definition over here of Maisa Hedjot, and you don't have that Heter. And if you're not allowed to do it with a Maisa Uman, Ladaito also litvor kapta b'moed. Rav Yashiv Zatzal would say you can't sew out a button on Chol HaMoed. However, there are those that bring down in his name shemut litvor esa kaptor bitzura shia kaptor rofu v'toli. There is a way to make a shinoi. Don't sew the button on tightly. Sew it on very loosely. And something similar to this is said by Rav Nissen Karlitz Zatzal, where he said normally the buttons, they normally have these four holes in the button where you stitch around it, and this way it tightens the button on. So he says just use two of the holes. If you use just two of the holes, so this is considered like a Maisa Hedjot. Rav Ozan Zatzal also brings down Shioch Litvo Shalo Bimkomo Haroi. He says sew the button on, not in the same place. That's also considered a shinoi. So be a little bit off the location where it should be. So it'll still be able to function as a button, but it's not in the right place. That also turns it into a Maisa Hedjot. So two suggestions. Either sew up only two of the four holes of the button, or sew the button up in a different place. That could accomplish the shinoi, which Rav Yashiv said he didn't really think could be accomplished with sewing on a button. The issue for number 40 brings down, what about if you have a sewing machine? So is that called a Maisa Uman by definition? So if Nissen Karlitz Zatzal brings down, yeah, it is. And therefore, you're not allowed to use a sewing machine on Chol HaMoed. Shekivin Shatotzah, he can Maisa Uman. The sewing machines make a perfect straight line all the time. And therefore, there's no Heter. It's not called Maisa Hedjot, it's called Maisa Uman, even though a non-professional person is doing this. Limrosh, a Nidrash, Mi'adam, Lios Uman, Bichde Lavi, Litotzazu. And you don't need to be a professional to use a sewing machine. And you can't do a shinoi over here in the result, because even if you hold it with your left hand, it's still going to make a straight line, a perfect line, and therefore a sewing machine isn't good as well. The issue for number 15 brings down, what about writing with a shinoi? So here, on Shilchos Shabbos, we say if you write with a shinoi, it knocks it down from the Reis of the Rabbanon. But here, it's actually more difficult to write with a shinoi. A person who's a righty writes very quickly. If you write with your left hand, it actually takes you that much more difficulty to do, or if you hold the pen in an unusual way, it's actually more difficult. It's a tircha yaseira, and therefore you're not allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed because you're doing actually more work, and it's not permissible. He brings down as well from the Vilna Gaon in the Sefer Damesek Eliezer that the Vilna Gaon doesn't allow this. Mishum kach chilukadin ben ksiva shlo hutra b'shinu levein tfira. There's a difference between the writing and the shinu that you do with sewing. As I said, it's a much more difficult action, and therefore you're not allowed to do it with this shinoi. In regards to sewing, if you're doing it in an abnormal way, it's just easier to do it. You're not doing so many stitches. You're doing irregular stitches, and therefore you're doing fewer stitches, and it's irregular. That's easy to do. That's why it's allowed with a shinoi. The issue number 16 brings down, if you could pay a non-Jewish person to do this, or a Jewish person to do it for free, so if Shlomo Zalman Zatzal brings down, it's preferable to pay the non-Jewish person to do this rather than to have the Jewish person do it for free, because you really don't want a Jewish person to do this malacha on Chol HaMoed. Finally, the issue for number 17 brings down, that the reason for the Isser to do it for somebody else to get paid, unless you desperately need the money, brings down the name of the Rosh, because it's Uvdin the Chol. This is like a weekday activity. It's a Chol Vachendika activity. And Rav Nissen Karlitz Zatzal adds, he says, Shein Isul Haviach B'Chol HaMoed. You aren't, there's no Issa to make money on Chol HaMoed, a profit, without doing any of the Dvarim Yisurim, and therefore, Lochei Mutu Litol Tashlem Al Schirus Kalim B'Moed. You can get paid for work that you did before Yontif. You're allowed to get paid on Chol HaMoed. However, that would not be allowed on Shabbos or Yontif. Likewise, if you're teaching somebody, teaching somebody Torah or even secular subjects, that's not called work, that's not called malacha, and you'd be allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. He says, Davka b'davar should be get the malacha, also lito scharla. It's only something that's called malacha and you're not allowed to get schar for it. Kivish im yitol or leh schar harim malocha nasis uvdin dechol v'asur. Then it looks like this work is an uvdin dechol. Finally, the issue from number 18 brings down in the Mishnah Berurah, we're going to learn that a davar ovid is musa lasos b'schar kotzav. You can do it for a set amount. Nevertheless, im yochol limtzo nachush yase avuro, nachush shal yiskoi soav. Better to have a non-Jewish person do this than to have the Jewish person do this. With this, we conclude today's shir and simon, Tavkuf Mem Aleph.